Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Freaking first cut. Golly!
Welcome to the First Cut Podcast. I'm Rick Gaiman, and this is your recap episode for this week's Worldwide Technology Championship. Joining me to break it all down, Patrick McDonald is here. Patrick, good day.
Good day. Hope everyone had a great weekend, a great finish there down in Mexico. The really tight and narrow El Cardenal. It's set up for some great theater down the stretch.
I think I sense a little bit of sarcasm in there. Greg Ducharme is here. Greg, the part that Patrick got right, and we were kind of talking about this before we went hot, is it was a good finish. You could argue whether 27 under par is the winning score that you want, whether 67 greens in regulation is the route that you want to go in a PGA Tour event. But with a few holes to go, there were legitimately 3 or 4 guys in the mix. I had no clue which one of them was going to win. It ended up being an exciting finish.
The last hour of this event was awesome. The setup and the rest of it. Look, I don't worry too much about the actual final score, but there's definitely something to the shot values and the way that the way it unfolds. So I think if you look a little deeper, I'm okay with 27 under par. It was unbelievable golf, but it's something else to, you know, picture being in the final group, shooting 28 on the last 9 and ending up with the putt to 428 is the putt to win, you know, and you're thinking it's to win by 1. So it was absolutely a birdie fest, and the guys in the last group made a ton of birdies.
Yeah, there were some eye-popping numbers. Patrick, you were saying who Adam Long did not miss a fairway all week. Is that an accurate statement?
Yeah, more like Adam accurate. Am I right?
Oh, nice.
Thank you.
You got us. Mm-hmm.
I'm here all week.
Yeah, didn't miss a single fairway. Who hit 67 greens, Greg?
67 greens. I had that up earlier. And then fairways.
Justin Suh
hit 57. Yeah.
I just couldn't remember. You told me earlier.
67. Yeah, I was looking at this too. I love looking at the, the stat center and the rankings in certain stats, especially a week like this. You know, if you hit 60 greens, well, let me say it differently. If you hit 59 greens of regulation, you were tied 41st.
Yeah. Which by the way is basically hitting 15 out of 18 a day.
So if there were 40 players who hit 60 or more greens this week, yeah. And the fairways is incredible too. This is absolutely outrageous. If you hit 49 out of 56 fairways this week, you were tied 57th. 56 players hit 50 or more fairways. You're talking about 48 players hitting 91% of their fairways or more.
The cumulative driving accuracy number was 388 out of 410, which is 94.6% field, 94.6% played out of the fairway. I mean, it's outrageous.
That Tiger Woods, he knows how to design them.
He's a generous architect, isn't he?
Yeah, there's a ton of space out there. Now, I can understand why to a degree. I mean, there are other things you could do. He obviously is designing this for resort guests, so I'm not knocking Tiger at all. But the areas around the fairways are, you know, lost ball areas. And it's not very fun to, when you're playing, to hit it in there and it's gone. You know, so I understand giving the players some space. There was some slope and there's some wind. I understand it. It just doesn't necessarily create the most compelling PGA Tour competition. Although the finish turned out great this week.
Yeah, that's kind of the crazy part in all this, is that it did come down to the wire. And on a Sunday where Camilo Villegas and Matt Kuchar entered as co-favorites, neither of them hoisted the trophy, because Patrick, that went to Erik van Rooyen. A Sunday 63, it was a Saturday 66, a Friday 64, and a Thursday 68 that he capped with a final 9-28, including an eagle on the final hole to win by two shots and capture his second career PGA Tour victory.
He really was a bit of an afterthought going into that inward half. You had Camilo kind of fending off Kuchar. Kuchar makes a birdie on the 10th, and then they go to the par 5 in. I kind of felt like on the 14th, it was like, oh, Camilo with that tee shot. Kuchar grabs a two-stroke lead with only four holes to play. You're going to have to do something pretty dumb around a golf course that Greg just laid out. It's pretty hard to do something dumb around that golf course for him not to win that event. But then van Rooyen really just started rolling him in, and with confidence. They mentioned it on the broadcast often, just the look in his eyes. You could see how calm he was. And you looked at Kuchar's pace on the greens. He was coming up short with a few putts, and he was rolling his in with the perfect pace, perfect drip speed. And you have it there on the par 3 16th, another on the 17th to turn the par 5 finisher into a true match play situation where he was tied for the lead all of a sudden. And maybe a nervy swing off the tee. Whoever was on the grounds there said he didn't really catch the driving iron fully, but it ended up being a perfect number because he had 290 in for a second, just laced a fairway wood up there, took a great bounce, settled about 20 feet, and really poured it in. I mean, he just looked so confident and so calm throughout that back nine. And I know Josh mentioned to us, you know, who would have thought we'd seen a back 9-28 after what we saw Hovland do at the BMW Championship. But it was all out impressive. And no matter what the course is, back 9-28, you're looking down a barrel of a gun trying to win a PGA Tour tournament. It's really gutsy stuff.
One putt on 10, one on 11, one on 12, two on 13, one on 14, two on 15, and then one single putt each on 16, 17, 18, 11 putts on his inward nine on Sunday, Greg. That goes a long way when coming into the week you were finding your long game, the ball striking numbers were rounding into form, and then he married it all up this time around.
And you know a week like this is going to turn into a putting contest. And it did. It really wasn't as much of a bomber's paradise as we thought. And many of the reasons are you're able to hit a driving iron off the tee on 18. If you have to hit a three wood or a driver, it's not really a big deal. So it didn't really separate out in distance the way that we thought it would. But ultimately, like you said, regardless of the golf course, Patrick, there's nothing more he could have done. 11 putts on the last nine is flawless golf. Right, the second shot into 18 rolls right. I mean, it's right on line with the flag, and it almost, you know, it gives it a look. It was a perfect shot, and the putts that he hold were perfect putts with the perfect speed and right on line going dead center. And you know, it's not very often you see somebody in the zone like that, and he just had that look like, all right, I know where I'm going to hit the ball. I'm going to do that. And every single shot is going right at the flag. I mean, they all did, whether they ended up 20 feet or not. They were coming, from his view, they must have looked like they were coming right down the chimney, one after another. It's so fun to watch. And, you know, you think, okay, well, Eric Van Rooyen is number 125 on the FedEx Cup coming in. And this is the, you know, a really big moment for a bubble boy. But you realize that that's probably the last thing on his mind this week. So there was a lot to play for him, and he stepped up.
Yeah, I'm glad Greg mentioned it. 125 in the FedEx Cup standings coming into the week. He jumps up to 63rd, Patrick, but the win gets him 2 years. The win gets him everything that comes with winning on the PGA Tour. So to take care of that with just a couple of events here left in the fall certainly does a lot for job security.
It's huge. Yeah. Major championship implications. You're into the signature events for all of 2024 as well. So just one win, we've seen it already this fall, can really change the trajectory of your career. And for him to get it done in the manner of which he did is just, as we've already said, it is just really, really impressive.
And that trajectory, Greg, I'm sure we talked about this on Monday. You know, EVR really struggled through much of 2023, but started to put it together late. Finished eighth at the Omega Masters, 16th at the Irish Open. And then when he started his fall swing here on the PGA Tour in Napa, it was a T30, a T16 at the Sanderson Farms, another top 25 in Vegas. So this has been brewing for a couple of weeks now. And then, like we talk about all the time, yeah, you add a one to the end of that, and we probably should have all seen this coming.
Right. And, you know, to see a win coming is one thing. I think we expected him to play well, and we talked about it on Monday as well. But, since the end of the PGA Tour season last year, since the Wyndham, all top 30 finishes, gained strokes in both off the tee and approaching the green in all of those events. And this was not the case for him really for at least a full season. And then even before that, you look back to 2021, 2020, this is not a tee to green kind of robot, right? This is a guy who can struggle a little bit tee to green despite that beautiful golf swing. And now we've seen over the last, say, five or six weeks, it's just been on point, and he trusted it. And all of a sudden he's in this situation where he's playing for a lot more than his FedEx Cup standings, a lot more than the 2-year exemption. You know, he's playing for his friend who doesn't have much time left, and he's able to step up and, you know, go visit him with a trophy in hand.
Yeah, very emotional Eric Van Rooyen post round, reiterating that a lot of things that are bigger than golf this week, Patrick, and he was kind of able to use that to remove himself from the ups and downs of a round that didn't start particularly well. He makes bogey on number one, a par five. He makes the turn in just one under in a birdie fest. I mean, he almost has to shoot a 28 or a 29 on his second nine to win. And he kind of thought, yeah, why not? There's a lot of other things going on right now.
It was a real almost go for broke mentality coming in. And the quote is, when you're playing for something bigger than winning some silly little trophy, it puts it into perspective. And at the end of the day, whether I won here or whether I lost here, it really didn't matter. When something motivates you like that, whether you make the putt or miss the putt, who cares? And to kind of have that in your corner, have someone you're playing for much more than golf, and for you to channel in a way where it frees up your golf game. And like Greg said, everything was right down the chimney coming down the stretch, and it really put a bow on a great week and makes for a really great story.
Yeah, that's the win number two for Eric Van Rooyen on the PGA Tour. His first win, gentlemen, anyone?
Yeah.
Dun, 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 dun.
2021 Barracuda, he beat Andrew Putnam by 5 points, because that's Stableford event.
And that's what got him on a run that carried him all the way to the Tour Championship, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, that's right. So he wins the Barracuda, T37 at the Wyndham. Then he goes seventh in Memphis, fifth at the BMW Championship, gets himself into East Lake, finishes T22. Yes, that was, he sprinted to the finish line at the end of the 2021 season. That is correct. Congratulations, EVR, back in the winner's circle. A pair of gentlemen here in the runner-up spot, Camilo Villegas, Matt Kuchar. Let's start with Kuchar because this tournament was mostly his for the vast majority, including a 29 of his own going out on Saturday, Patrick, and then gets on 59 watch by birdieing 12, 13, and 14 before making a quadruple bogey 8 on 15, another bogey on 16, and entered the final round tied for the lead instead of being 4 or 5 shots clear.
I may have to take full responsibility for that stretch of holes for Matt Kuchar. I put into our Slack channel, I was like, hey, are we going to want to do a recap of this round? What are we thinking content-wise? Editor comes back. He's like, what's going on? I'm like, Kuch has a 5-stroke lead. I look back at my phone. He goes, Kuchar's lead is gone. And yeah, I mean, he has to look back at this weekend and be like, how I really should have won this tournament. He's standing on the 15th tee with a 2-stroke lead. 2-stroke lead with 4 holes to play on a golf course that really doesn't have any trouble at all. You think he can kind of cruise to victory. And then you just got a freaking freight train come out of nowhere, an EVR, breathing down your neck and leapfrogging you. And the stroke on 17 was pretty suspect, I think, after EVR poured that one in before him. And then the second shot into 18 wasn't great either. I thought, honestly, after the tee shots on 18, I had my gamer written up. I had the Kuchar win. I had win number 10. The ghost of El Toucan can be put to bed. But clearly El Toucan struck back this week. And for Kuch, for the 45-year-old Kuchar, it would have been a big win. I mean, for everything that EVR got, that easily could have been Kuchar. And for him to kind of let this slip through his grasp, I think it's really going to hurt.
Yeah, put that gamer on ice for a bit. And Greg, Patrick's observation, the 4 pars coming in statistically loses him about a shot and a half to the field by just playing those at level par because of how gettable each of 15, 16, 17, and especially 18 were. So there's a shot and a half, the quad, and then following it up with a bogey on Saturday. Kuchar's going to walk away here with a runner-up finish, a T2, and it has got to feel like this one was absolutely his.
You absolutely gave it away. You mentioned the putting stat of EVR with 11 putts on the back nine. Well, in Matt Kuchar's Saturday round, all 18 holes, he had 21 putts.
Wow.
Now, that's what puts you on 59 watch. But at the same time, you have 21 putts and shoot 67, and it feels really disappointing. You know, so there's great things from this, and there's really disappointing things from this. But I just got the sense when he's standing on 15T with the 2-shot lead that the mindset shifted to, well, don't do anything stupid.
Yeah. Right?
Don't prevent defense. It went prevent defense. So we're going to play to save. So, and he didn't have a good birdie look the rest of the way in. Mm-hmm. I guess he did on what was it, 16?
16 is the par 3.
17 from 17. The divot. Used the back slope.
Yeah, yep. He had a really good shot there. That was 7. That's the one I'm thinking of. And Camilo and EVR both make, and he gives it a really weak effort. But that was really the only great look he had coming down the stretch. And it was just a very clear shift to me where, okay, I got this under control. Everything's going my way. I'm not going to mess this up. Big greens, big fairways. This is mine. And then all of a sudden it's not. Because you realize in an event like this that, pars are mistakes. Yeah, right. It's not a typical, a major championship where, hey, pars are a good thing. Pars are not a good thing. And you really have to, if you're in this situation for any other birdie fest that we see on the PGA Tour next year, especially, you got to be saying, hey, I need to make birdies because pars are mistakes. And Kuchar learned that lesson the hard way today.
Yeah, Kuchar's lead in form, Patrick, it's kind of been all over the place, right? I mean, it's a less consistent Matt Kuchar at this point of his career, but he did play well in Napa. He went over and played the Andalusia Masters, had a top 20 there. And then despite this being a different golf course, he's always played well in Cabo. So Kuchar's kind of in this like really awkward spot on the PGA Tour, right? You said he's 45. He could still contend depending on what golf course or what format here, but a lot of times he's just outclassed. He's got 5 years before he can go and dominate on the Champions Tour, which I'm sure he is going to do. It's just kind of a really awkward time for him.
He's in purgatory. And there's really nothing he can do. He got up to number 66 this week in the FedEx Cup. So you think a Sea Island guy, or formerly a Sea Island guy, I believe, he'll be at the RSM and he'll have a chance to play himself inside the top 60 and, you know, maybe get inside those two signature events. And he's always played well at Riviera, I believe. So he's got to pick and choose his spots, but he doesn't really have the luxury of doing that. So like you said, Rick, it's just in between a rock and a hard place for him.
Yeah. It's no man's land.
Yeah.
No man's land. Well, we're going to continue this conversation. We have a lot more names to talk about and a lot more to break down. But first, we're going to take a quick break and hear a word from our partners.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
And we're back. The man tied with Matt Kuchar in that runner-up position was Camilo Villegas. Goes 64, 64, 69, 66. The problem, Greg, Sunday holes 7 to 16. He made 10 consecutive pars. We have already discussed that the scoring was outrageous, including nearly 5 strokes under par on average on Sunday. 5 strokes under par, which means if you shot a 67 on Sunday, you barely made up ground to the field. To make 10 straight pars in that moment of the event is just not, it is never going to win here.
Nope. And he still had a chance to win, which was pretty cool. So I thought he fought really hard. I thought he stayed in the race. He was fortunate to make par at number 14. I mean, very fortunate. That was one of the rare mistakes that we saw from the entire field off the tee all week. And he's able to salvage a 5 there, which feels like a bogey. On, was it 12? I believe it was 12. He had a really good look. He and Kuchar both hit great shots in there, and he just didn't hit a great putt and missed from about 5 feet. And that was a disappointing one. And I feel like a putt like that going in could have really sparked some momentum, and it didn't. So all of a sudden he's in this situation. He's fighting hard, but not really there. He makes a great putt at 17 to put himself in the mix and hits a awesome shot into 18. Those two shots that Eric Van Rooyen hit and Camilo Vijayguss hit were awesome.
Yeah.
And it, you know, it kind of kicks left and then catches a slope to the right and feeds down towards the hole. And he has a look at it, but unfortunately, by the time he hit his putt, it didn't matter. It was just a matter of whether or not there was a tee in front of the two or not. So disappointing stuff. But Camilo has not played a lot of golf lately. He played 10 events before this one this year and only made 3 cuts. So this is really out of nowhere, and to add a T2 to the resume is significant.
Yeah, the golf that he has played has been basically Korn Ferry Tour golf, Patrick. So it is certainly going a long way for him to pile up these points. And Josh, do we have the updated FedEx Cup fall? I can't imagine he is broken into the top 10 there, but this is a chunk of momentum. There's a couple of events left, and you know, maybe he can make something out of the final two cracks at it.
He I have it right. He moved to 147th.
Yeah, so still.
Yeah, a long way back. But getting inside the top 150 at least gets you starts.
Yeah, anyway. And then 125 is another magic number, right? And then, like, you know, he doesn't have to get to 51 to 60.
Right, right. Yeah. He wants to get inside 125. Right, and he's got 2 weeks to do it.
I was on the official. The live one has Kuchar 52nd. So shame on me. I retract my prior statement on that. He is inside the green zone, to steal a term from the TGL, but you look at Camilo, he's only got 11 starts because he's playing on the past champions category.
Right.
If he somehow gets this win, you get the 2-year exemption. It would have been his first win since 2014. This is his first top 10 since the 2021 Honda Classic. So like you said, Greg, really just completely out of nowhere. Not a ton of form at all. I think Datagolf has him like 450th in their system. Just no form, no nothing. And it easily could have changed this week if he just made a few putts during that middle portion. He kind of fell asleep, and then right when Kuchar applied a little pressure, he had the adrenaline pumping, I think, a little bit. You saw it in the veins, at least, where he got quick off the tee on 14, and he was very lucky to even find that ball, take it unplayable. And like you said, Greg, a very good par there to kind of keep himself in it. But you can't be making pars on par fives on the back nine at this golf tournament and expect to keep pace. And at that point, it was just, you know, he put himself behind the eight ball too much. But if not for EVR, this Camilo winning this tournament probably would have been, I think, the story of the year in golf. I mean, Chris Kirk winning at the Honda Classic was a great one as well. I would put this one right up there with it, with everything he and his family have gone through, the tragedy with their little girl, and for him to come back and, you know, win a tournament like this and get that 2-year exemption where the past champions has only allowed him 11 starts. It would have made would have been very cool.
Updated FedEx Cup fall standings. Kuchar moves to 52nd, Mac Hughes to 53rd. Sam Ryder jumps in. He goes from 63rd to 59th, dropping out. Luke List, Thomas Dietrich, and then EVR has gotten himself right on the verge of the number now, 63rd. Although he doesn't need it, right? He's got the 2-year. He doesn't care. He's not
right.
He's not going to play the rest of the fall. Yeah. So don't worry about him. He's got everything he needs.
Mm-hmm. Yep. He's good to go.
Bo Hostler continues to maintain his lead at the top. Anything super noteworthy here, Gregers?
Where has Ludvig moved to?
God, yeah, we're going to talk about him next. He is 95th.
Jeez.
How is that possible?
Well, he's played so little.
Yeah, he's only played in the fall. He's only played this event, Vega. He's only played 3 times. He's only played 3 times this fall.
And he's made a
T2, a T13, and a T10.
Yeah, but he was playing college golf this year.
He also has a European Tour win. He was great at the Ryder Cup. I have a feeling this guy's good at golf.
Yeah. And you see it with the Sunday performances. What's the Sunday scoring average is below 65.
Well, last year, 62, 64.
This is what the, what do you call it? The pros pro? You know, like this is the, how you have a long career on the PGA Tour is you step up on Sundays. Whether you're in contention or not, you play great on Sunday and you move your way up to, you move your way up into a top 10 finish. And that's exactly what he's done. But I guess he had 62 at Shriner, 68 at Sanderson, 67 at Wyndham, a 63 at the John Deere Classic. You know, you don't have to have your best stuff, but you go shoot around like that on Sunday and it's a nice paycheck and you're keeping your job and you're staying in elevated events and you're keeping your world golf ranking up and all those things start to happen. And although he's not there now, with Sunday performances like that, he will be there very soon. It's impressive.
Since turning pro, Patrick, he has played 13 events around the world. He has 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 top 25s. And actually, it should really only be 12 events because I'm counting the Ryder Cup. He has a win. He was great at the Ryder Cup. His last handful of starts are a T10 here, T13, runner-up, Ryder Cup, win at the Omega Masters, T4 at the Czech Masters, T14 at the Wyndham Championship. He has basically done like what more could you do in your first dozen starts as a professional?
A lot of longtime PGA Tour players shaking in their boots right now. We talk about how is Ludwig only 95th right now? He had a better season this past couple months than pretty much
Lucas Glover. Like this might, I was thinking this might be better than Lucas Glover, right? Because Glover made all his hay in 6 starts. He won 2 of them. They were back to back. Ludwig won 1 and was great at the right. Like, I don't know, man, this might be a better run than Lucas Glover.
It's been a lot of fun to watch. And you throw in kind of the Rocket Mortgage Classic too. He had the first 2 days with Luke Donald. He opened with an 8-under round there and people started going bananas and Luke Donald comes to him. He's like, hey, I'm going to need to see a little more from you. Can you come play on the DP World Tour? He's like, okay, hold my beer. Boom. T4 at the Czech Masters, win at the Omega European Masters. He held the 54 hole lead at the BMW PGA Championship by 2. Wasn't able to convert there, and then has a great Ryder Cup alongside Hovland, and just is mowing through the field there at this fall in the FedEx Cup fall. And like Greg said, the Sunday performances have been great. He snuck into a playoff there in Mississippi. I think that's some great experience under his belt, and it's just been really, really fun to watch. I mean, it seems like you could make an argument early on in his career, you know, all of 60 days ago, that putter sometimes would let him down, but he's rolling the rock great this fall. And he'll be inside the top 125. He'll be in the Players Championship. Masters invitations going to be soon to follow for sure. Hasn't played in a major yet.
I'm foaming at the mouth, Greg. I've just could not be more in on this.
It's going to be a fun ride to watch because I see all the makings of a top 20 official world golf ranking for 20 years kind of a player, right? Which is really saying something. And I would imagine much of this career will be inside that top 20. But even players like Rory McIlroy have their slips and they end up 18th in the world after a little bit of a bad run. But it's a sign of someone with great longevity. We've seen him do it at various styles of golf course. That doesn't seem to matter. I guess long and straight works everywhere. But even here, we talked about it on Monday, Rick. Does this golf course take away his advantage because there's no difficulty off the tee?
kind of think it. I mean, he's so good everywhere else, but if this place was a birdie fest and you also had to drive it well, he would have probably won by 1,000 shots.
Right. So when we get to majors, which we haven't seen him in, it's kind of, he's kind of built for him.
Hey, what's the hardest course he's played? Wentworth?
Is that like probably right?
What was the winning score there?
Well, he did play pro because he did play API.
Mm, that's right. T24 at the API.
Yep.
Oh, right. Yeah.
He's in college.
Mm-hmm.
Literally.
Yeah. Like that's in March. You know, he's not even, he hasn't even locked up PGA Tour U by that point.
Yikes.
Yeah, he's getting ready for spring break, and he's like, I got to go to Bay Hill.
Yeah. Should we do spring break in Orlando?
It's kind of a problem like that. That's scary, man. That's scary.
Yeah. And so when the golf courses get more difficult, I think it plays into his advantage even more. And those tend to be the bigger events, you know, the events you really want to win. And you'd love to win them all, but the big ones are on more difficult golf courses. So he's scary for everybody else.
Let me just open this up, gents. Throw out a couple of items here if there's anything else we want to talk about before recapping the best bets. Akshay finished T10. We mentioned Bo Hostler holds his spot there. That was thanks to a T15. Good performance by Will Gordon, T15, just kind of going through some of the names that we've talked about this week. And then we did obviously get a chance to speak with friend of the pod, Michael Block, recently. He finished, unfortunately, last. Cam Young, T54. Anything in there you want to chat about?
Will Gordon. We were big on Rick Monday.
No, you were, and then you talked me into it, and that, right. And you were
back-to-back weeks.
Absolutely correct.
But this is so disappointing. I mean, he's right there. He should have been in this last group. And on Sunday, his last nine on Sunday, on Saturday, and his first nine on Sunday is 37-38. I mean, we talked about. we talked about not surviving 10 pars in a row. He shoots 18 consecutive holes over par. So, I mean, in one sense, it's great to finish T15, but boy, that was a disappointing T15.
Those 18 holes, he lost 7 shots to the field in those 18 holes. So imagine if it was just one round in which he lost 7 strokes to the field, it would just be a horrific round. That's what he did, but he did it over 2 days.
And so if he plays those 18 holes even to the field,
he's tied.
He's 25 under. You know, you make a birdie, you know, make an extra birdie in there, maybe.
Yeah,
you win.
That's wild.
So, anyway,
I personally need to see something from one Cameron Young.
Mm.
Opens. He pitched a perfect game on Thursday. 14 fairways, 18 greens, 7 under, and then he follows it up with a nice, cozy 2 over 74. Moving day arrives after he's lucky to make the cut. Boom, even par 72, and then he backs it up Sunday. Teases you just a little bit with a bogey-free 8 under 64.
That's what I hate. Just enough to keep me interested. A 65 on Thursday, a 64 on Sunday, and this guy just keeps.
So it's a bologna sandwich. That's what I call that. It's a complete bologna sandwich this week from Cam Young.
He's in a very strange place. I mean, he's obviously top 50, and he's said he'll be in all the majors and play great in the majors last year. But his rookie year was sensational, and his sophomore year was kind of a drop off. And wonder,
Greg, you know how it works. Defenses adjust to you in your second year.
Mm-hmm. Right. In golf, that's what happens. Mm-hmm. But what is Cam Young for real? You know, is there too much hype from his rookie year? Is this just a little bit of a rough patch right now? You know, where are we? I don't know where we are. So he may be a little overinflated in our perception of him at this point. And if that's true, he's still a top 50 player and a wonderful player, but maybe our expectations are too high.
Are you cutting the rate or what? We're just holding steady after this Fed meeting. If he's overinflated, what are you doing as Jerome Powell to cut inflation of Cam Young?
I don't know. I'm a big fan of letting natural forces play out.
Right? The invisible hand.
Let the business cycle run its course. The more that I, meddle, the worse these things can get. So I'm going to stay out of the way.
I'm going to invest in Ludwig and see if it trickles down to Cam Young. That's my
trickle down
economics.
Shout out to Reagan. Oddly enough, the invisible hand won Adam Scott. Not related.
That's right. Okay. Well, I had one more. Oh, I did have one more nugget. So we mentioned it earlier. Adam Long hit every single fairway this week. So via PGA Tour comms just a couple minutes ago, Adam Long becomes the first player with a 100% driving accuracy over four rounds in a PGA Tour event since Brian Clarke, remember him, did it in 1992 at the Memorial.
Rick, I think what makes this stat even more impressive is based off that same tweet. It was the 1992 Memorial Tournament presented by Workday. Was founded in 2005.
Yeah. Preach, Patrick. Preach, baby.
Just unbelievable. That's in the record books forever. No one's going to be able to touch Brian Clarke.
One of the most sham things in golf is that the retroactive tournament names. Just obscene.
It's a very unique thing. But more, the retroactive tours as well are just, it's funny. Especially, it's one thing if it goes back like a couple of years, but when you start going back to 1992.
Yeah.
It's like, it's the same event, but it was different then.
You don't remember Jason Gore winning all those Corn Ferry Tour events, or you don't remember
he was in
called the web.com or don't call it. Yeah. The Nike Tour. Don't call it anything. Like that.
And I do get where it comes from.
So yeah, it comes from them. So do I, they sell it to the sponsor and they say, listen, any mention of it ever is going to be yours. And it's just,
right.
It's just insane.
But I digress.
Any other Cabo nuggets before we recap our best bets? Going once. Going twice.
Nah. A lot of celebs down there, though. Which, JR, the Golden Bear, JT, Timberlake, that is.
JR.
Smith.
Oh, I thought I was like, whose initials are JR? Literally JR Smith. Yes. Mm-hmm. JR Smith.
We also have Justin Rose, not there.
There was somebody else I saw too. Oh God. I can't remember.
Michael Block, probably.
Blocky was there. Okay. Mm-hmm. We are going to recap our best bets. Not good for me, but one of the parlays did indeed cash. We'll get to that after a quick word from our partners.
Another day is here and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
We are back. We are back. And it is time to recap our best bets, which, as always, are brought to you by FanDuel Sportsbook. Make every moment more. I had a bad week. I did not get my finishing position correct. which was Cam Champ top 20. Ludwig did not win. Taylor Pendrith did not win. They both finished inside the top 15. And I have to have my matchup struck from the record because Chad Ramey withdrew like an hour before the tournament. I think he did it on Wednesday night. So that's a push. Callum Tarran over Chad Ramey is a push, which, Greg, honestly, probably good because Callum Tarran missed the cut.
Yeah. So it worked out. It's not all red across the board there. Yeah, no green, but at least it's not a total sweep. You walk out of there with a half a point.
I get my $50 back, which is nice. Now, we did sweep the rest of the finishing positions. Patrick and Mark had Bo Hostler top 20. Kyle had Ludwig top 10. So Patrick, congratulations there. That's not going to be your only victory, but you do pad a little bit of cash in the finishing position market.
Look, I'm really happy that I could lead Mark to the promised land because it's been tough for our South African brother here.
He usually drags everybody down. So you've been able, you guys have found the combination that when you team up, that might be what we need.
Yeah, exactly. It could be scary. A potential lethal duo, me and Mark Immelman. I'm not sure he would sign off on that, but we'll see. We'll see. I'll get to him.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll just wear him down. Best bets, please. Kelly Kraft top 40 for myself. No. Mark's parlay of Grillo killed me. Grillo, Putnam, List, and Suh to make the cut. That did not come through. Kyle got us a winner with Ludwig inside the top 20, double down on Ludwig. But Patrick, it comes through. The positivity parlay because Bo Hostler, JJ Spahn, and KH Lee all found their way to the weekend. Congratulations.
Thank you. It got sweaty there a little bit on Friday with KH Lee, I think, made a double bogey. So did JJ Spahn. And I hadn't watched much of the coverage. I'm like, what the hell are these guys doing making double bogeys around this course where everyone's shooting like 64? But they showed a little resolve, showed some guts, and another positively parlay comes through. To FanDuel, you think about FanDuel, their old Patrick's gone. He's with a different network who's going to have their own gambling platform. I think we bring me in. We boost this plus 105 to a plus 125. We give the people what they want, and the positivity keeps on rolling.
Not only did he victory lap his win, he also tried to get himself a job there.
Right.
That was pretty
good. Has the positivity parlay ever lost?
Oh, that's a great, great question, Greg.
Has it ever won before this week?
That's what I meant to say. Was this the first win?
No. In the fall, this is event number 5. We are 2 for 5.
Yeah,
I believe.
Yeah, I think that's right. Actually,
all right.
In the third, what? Oh, maybe I wasn't on a Tuesday show. The other one was a Ryder Cup bet that I hit.
Well, I mean,
yeah, and this actually goes back. So it goes back further than the fall. But the end of the other season was Patrick just the reason this started is he was so deep in the hole,
right?
That he was firing up like 25-1 parlays to see if he could get it all back by the end of the year. So we kind of write those off, I think, at this point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, Rick taught me this really cool theory that he learned from being in Vegas all these years, and I tried to apply it, and there were a lot of heartbreaks in there, a lot. But
what's the theory? You can make it all back in just one bet.
It only takes one bet. Yeah, just keep chasing.
Rick, what is that called when you keep on?
I want to call it the Nightingale, but it's not called the Nightingale. It's called the something Martingale system.
I was going to say Schrodinger's theory. I don't even know what that is.
But I also said addiction.
So the Martingale, yes, the Martingale for those who would be like, okay, you put $10 on blackjack, you lose. So now your next bet's 20 and then it's 40, then it's 80. You can't lose, you know, infinity number of bets in a row. Now, obviously Las Vegas casinos they are aware of this. One, it would require an infinite bankroll, but number two, that is why there are things called table maximums. So if you ever did try to pull this off and your next bet needed to be, you know, $10,000 and you're in a table max, it's $5,000, like you can't do it. That's why table maximums exist.
Very. You never know what you're going to learn in today. There you go. Interesting theory. And interesting.
I mean, it's not, I guess it's not wrong, but if you have unlimited amounts of money, I guess you could, yes, you could do it successfully. And then if you win, you start over, right? So if you bet 10, lose, go to 20, and win, now you're up 10. Right. So now you start over 10 again, then 20, 40, you, okay, I'll start over. Actually, you'd have to go more than that, because you'd have to count your losses. So if you lose the 20 and the 10, you'd have to keep adding it up.
So Greg, that's why these bets are only around even money right now towards the playoffs.
Oh, cause you've won recently.
Correct, because I'm in the black currently, but in the playoffs, we were ripping like top 10 parlays. 20-1,
right?
And just missing, like Colin Morikawa just missed a putt on the 72nd hole, stuff like that. And so the ball is just bouncing my way in the fall.
There was one that like he really got screwed on that would have got him even. I don't remember the exact situation. Maybe it was Morikawa late, but I remember thinking, wow, that stinks.
I remember some like all of them. 7-9 player all make the cut bets.
The Wyndham was tough. I went like 5 for 6 there.
Oh, yeah. That Justin, one too. Yeah,
Justin saw. I unstarred him from the PGA Tour app. That's what happened. Because he had such a good first round. I'm like, okay, we don't have to worry about him. Let's just focus on Justin Thomas. And then I'm getting like tweets. It's like, right, oh my god, bogey. But I'm like, who? Like Justin Thomas? Justin saw. And I forgot about him, and he missed the freaking cut on me.
Yeah, that was so. Josh has them. He obviously keeps the spreadsheet for this. That was Horschel, Noren, Sub, Putnam, and Justin Thomas to all make the cut at the Wyndham, and they all did except for Sub after opening with like a 66 or whatever.
Oh no,
for 10-1.
Well, we're ahead of the game so far this year. So
yeah.
Well done. Well done. Also, make sure you're betting responsibly. That is brought to you by FanDuel Sportsbook. Make every moment more. Give us a little subscribe. Leave us a 5-star rating and review. Like button, all that fun stuff, because we are going to be rocking and rolling to Bermuda next week, gents. Oh, Bermuda, the RSM Classic. That's the fall swing. Then we'll have the Hero World Challenge. The Netflix Cup is somewhere in there. Then we're going to, who knows, the Grant Thornton co-ed event. I mean, there is golf to be played around the world, and we will be covering it. Anything else before we get out of here?
Hey Rick, you want to maybe hang out the week of the Netflix Cup? Someone might be coming into town.
Are you going to be there?
Potentially, yes.
Let me know.
Okay.
Patty
hits the road.
If I got an opportunity to go out in Vegas with Patrick McDonald, could you imagine the scenario? I cannot.
We're gonna put the martingale to the test, baby.
Bring your cash, baby. Wow.
Patty
wow.
on the road.
I love it. Patty, we need a series of look at this screenshot. We need a series where we just vlog Patrick wherever he goes. Just like I need the day to day, especially when he's on the road in Las Vegas. Oh,
maybe I should just drive out there, make a whole road trip out of it.
I will die. That is so funny. That is so funny. All right. Well done. Big thanks to producer Josh, who does all the hard work behind the scenes. Patrick McDonald, you can find him on Twitter at Amateur Status. You can find Greg at The Real GFD. My handle is at Rick Run Good. This has been The First Cut. We'll catch you next time.
Baseball has begun, which means you need to listen to Fantasy Baseball Today in 5, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Sample, every Monday through Saturday as we deliver all of your fantasy baseball needs in just 5 minutes. We'll break down the biggest performers, news, and prospects who could make an impact this season. Make sure to download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the Odyssey app, and everywhere else podcasts are found.